Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Walker. Good morning. Or should I say good afternoon this morning? Praise the Lord. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be here, my wife and I, to be here. We are excited to be part of what God is doing in these parts of the world. And so we think that Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley could have invited anyone from anywhere in the world, but it just so happened that God decided to get us to come here. We are deeply, deeply grateful. I'm with my wife, Pastor Maureen. Would you like to just stand so that they can see you there? Okay. And we have been married for close to 40 years now, and she's the love of my life. She is my sweetheart. She's my KFC, my Bonzorenia, my Nando's, my pastor and my friend. And so we have been on this journey. We have 5 kids, 3 biological and 2 that we have adopted. And so thank you for inviting us to be here. I feel blessed to be part of what the faith family is doing. I consider myself to be a member of the faith family, and in particular Rhema, because Papa Hagen is one person that invested immensely in my life. And what I am today, who I am today, is because of my connection with Rhema and with Papa Hagen. All that I know, all that I've learned from him. I don't, as I said yesterday, I don't have another papa. These days we have papas for auctions from Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Malawi. But it's always good to find a place where you belong and you have a father there in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So it's an honor to be here. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into what we need to get into the word today. Would you like to join with me in prayer right now? Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your loving kindness. Your tender mercies, which are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. Thank you for the honor, the privilege of being able to minister your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I did not choose this honor. You chose it, and I'm greatly, greatly privileged to be, Father, in the name of Jesus, the conveyor of your word. Father, I pray that you'll anoint my mind to think through my mind. You'll anoint my lips to speak through my lips. And if necessary, you'll anoint my hands, Father, to touch those that need to be ministered to. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We call this a God zone, a Jesus zone, and a word zone. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this morning, I would like us to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. And so when Pastor Walker invited me to come, he had asked me to send a couple of presentations. So it was easy for me to send the commencement speech because I could do that. But the sermon, you know, I will be honest. I'm being an honest pastor, so I'll be honest. I just sent my presentation. It's a series. I'm a pastor, so good pastors teach in series. Good pastors don't do hit and runs and takeaways, you know. So because you need to grow up on a staple diet of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, maybe other people can just hit you with a one-day wonder sermon and you just go and say, wow. But a good pastor is like a father. A good pastor ensures that the church is nourished week after week with a word, a stable, consistent word. And so what I did, and I'm going to ask the media people, just bear with me, is just I sent a whole bunch of stuff that is part of a series that we are talking about called Building the Church. But I'm praying that God will help me to be able to narrow it down to our Sunday engagement today so that we can know to build the church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, so I'm going to read it from there. It says, let me just back up here. I think I've got the wrong 16, and praise the Lord. And it says, when Jesus came to the 16 and 13, my apologies. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, some that prophet. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church. Somebody say, I will build my church. Somebody say, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so we find Jesus asking an interesting question he doesn't ask anywhere else in his entire life. And this question is about what people think about him. I want to say this morning that Jesus is interested in what you think about him. Jesus is interested in what people think about him. But he asked this question in Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is made up of two words, Caesarea and Philippi. And I'm just going to try and work with this and develop with you an understanding of why he asked this question here. He didn't ask it anyway. He didn't ask it in Jerusalem. He didn't ask it in Jericho. He didn't ask it in his hometown. He asked it in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is made of two words. The first word is Caesarea, which pertains to the Romans, Caesar. We all know Caesar. And it talks about those forces in our lives that demand territory, those forces in our lives that want to control a dominion, those forces in our lives that want to take over where we are. And we live in places where there are forces that are wanting to take over where we are, that are demanding dominion. Some of those forces are spiritual. Some of those forces are physical. But in this world you are living in a world where some force is trying to take over some territory and control it. Whether it's a political force through elections or military force. For instance, what is happening now with Israel and Hamas, and I'm sure some of you know it, the battle there is not just a battle of words. It's a battle of territory. It's a battle of somebody wanting to take territory. I want you to know that in your life, you're going to come up against forces that want to take some territory in your life. Whether it's spiritual territory, whether it's your mind territory, whether it's physical territory, or whether it's financial territory, or the territory at your workplace. I don't know, maybe Zambia is a much more developed country than Zimbabwe, but I know that in Zimbabwe, there are some people who go to witch doctors in order to try and get your job. I don't know whether this happens here. I think this is a holy nation. I understand some time ago, one of your presidents declared this a Christian nation. So you don't have anything like that. But where I come from, where people, instead of coming to church on Saturday, on Sunday, they go to the Eastern Highlands, where we understand there's some very powerful people who can give them things that will enable them to take over someone's job. I want you to know that in this life, some of the things you have will be contested. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want you to know that if you are single and you are looking to get married, and thank God there's some people are getting married in a couple of weeks, I am telling you that somewhere along the line there was someone contesting what you want to marry today, or who you're going to marry. Well, I'm talking about myself. For instance, when I met my wife, I had a couple of people that thought that they would marry her. So I had a bit of contest. So I thank God that I was taught the word of faith, binding and loosing. So I started binding and loosing some things because there are territories that are contested. Hallelujah. One of the most amazing territories that we find contested, which increasingly becomes important, is the territory of health, for instance. There is something that may want to take over your body. For instance, in a couple of years past, we had COVID. What COVID actually did is to manifest in a physical form what the devil wants to do into the way. The COVID took over the world, shut down governments, shut down businesses, shut down homes. Each and every one of us were restricted to a home. There was a force that was taking territory. And I want you to know that in this life, there will be forces that will contest the territory that you have, the territory of faith, the territory of your body, the territory of your mind, the territory of your family, and the territory of the church. So he was here in Caesarea Philippi talking about who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am, and because there was a contestation, a territorial contestation. Hallelujah. The second part is the word Philippi. The word Philippi is a Greek word, okay? Philip or Philippi means lover of horses. And this word Philippi talks about the Greek side of things. Remember, the Roman side taking over territory. But the Greek side of things is about minds and thinking and philosophies. Some of the greatest philosophers we have in life are philosophers from the Greek era. Aristotle, you know, Plato, Archimedes, and so on and so forth. These are people that had something to do with mind, something to do with the way we think or the way the world thinks. I want you to know, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, as we are going to be building the church. And the church, by the way, is not just the four walls we're in. Thank God we have these walls. The church is really you. The church is the people in it. If I empty this building of the people, the church will not mean anything. And so when I'm talking about the church, building the church, when I'm talking about taking territory and dominion, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about what Jesus says, the violent take it by force. They take territory by force. They take those areas by force. Now that you are a teacher in that school, God placed you in that place so that you can exert an influence in that territory. Now that you are an employer or an employee, God placed you in that territory so that you can be an influence in that territory and take over territory. But one of the greatest places where the enemy will want to build his kingdom is the mind, okay? So Philippi talks about mind, talks about thinking. It talks about this arena of thoughts. And the thoughts make the man. Thoughts make you. If I am going to build the church, which is you, by the way. The church is three things. The church is an individual, the church is an institution, and the church is the kingdom of God. So if I am going to build the church, I must build you. Look at your neighbor and say, if we're going to build the church, we must build you. You are saying it like you just woke up. Say to your neighbor, if I'm going to build the church, I must build you. If I build you, I build the church. If I build the church, I build the kingdom. So we need to understand how we can put this together. So I was told some time ago that during the Second World War, the Germans wanted to create a missile that would go and destroy the British Islands. And so while the scientists were busy working on it, eventually when they came out, they found that it was not a missile that could go anywhere. You know, so they turned it into a Volkswagen, the VW. It's the only car that has got an engine at the back because it was supposed to be propelled. And so trying to build a car, they did not quite figure out how to do it. Many times we want to build the church. Many times we want to build our lives. Many times we want to be strong in territories that are contested. Many times we want to go ahead in life, but we don't know how to do it. And so hopefully by the end of this time together, I will have given you one or two elements that will help you build the church. Remember, first of all, the church is you. Please turn to your neighbor and say, the church is you. So if we are going to build miracle life, we have to build you, because when we come together, we become the corporate church. There is this the small C church, which is you. Then there is the big C church, which is this one. And then there is the big C church, which is the kingdom of God. So today we just want to focus on you. If I build you, I will build the church. If I build you well, you are not going to turn into a Volkswagen. You will be a missile. So we need to know where to put the right things in there. So one of the most important things that builds a person is your thinking, the way you think. As a man thinketh, so is he. Where the mind goes, the man follows. And so if we are going to build the church, I have to change your mind. I have to change your mindset. That's why the word of God says in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world mold you. Don't let the world direct you. Don't let the world tell you who you are. But be
transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, your mind is one of the most important elements in building you. Yeah, you can have a healthy body, but if your mind is sick, you are not really anything. So we have to build your mind. So getting into the Word of God in churches like this one is not about just knowing verses. It's not about reciting verses. It's not just about knowing scripture, but it is to get into this mindset, because that is where the identity of Jesus is going to be formed. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So yeah, so there's a place where some people are controlling things in the world. But the next place where things are controlled is the mind. It's in Philippi. It's the thinking. It's how you think. It's how you view the world. And the Word of God has been given to us so that we can change what we think about God and change what we think about us. And when we do that, we change how we build the church. You know, there are many people who have abilities in the church, but the way they think about the church is something that is out there. The church is something different to who they are. But you are the church. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are the church. So later on, as we read in the scriptures there, the Word of God says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, okay, it's not Peter necessarily. It is a revelation. It is this understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Without that understanding, without that mindset, without that revelation, it's not going to be easy to build the church of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, which rock? This understanding of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Your understanding is very important in building the church of Jesus Christ. The way you understand who Jesus is, the way you understand the Word of God, the way you understand who the Father is. Today we are talking about, I've got a good Father. The less you understand who the Father is, the less of the church you are. The less you understand who Jesus is, the less of the church you are. The less you understand who you are, the less of the church you are. So if we are going to build the church, you are going to do something about building you. Hallelujah. Because you are the first church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the first church, regardless of what you think, you are the first church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the interesting thing about this Caesarea Philippi, remember, Jesus never asked this question anywhere else. He didn't ask it in Jerusalem. He didn't ask it in Jericho. He did not ask it in Bethlehem. You only asked it here. And Jesus never does anything haphazardly or coincidentally. It is because he's trying to bring to attention that in building the church, in building the identity of God, we have to contend with those forces that want to control our areas. But we have to contend with those forces that want to control our minds, the way we think. Maybe, I think this is a Christian nation, but there is a way in which nations think, like in Zimbabwe. We have a way of thinking, for instance. And I'm not going to go into that because I don't want to start an international diplomatic war. But different people are groomed differently to think differently. Let me just give you an example from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, come out of your country, come out of your kindred, come out of your family to a place I will show you. Why was it necessary? God was still God in Haran. But it was important that in moving out of your country, in moving out of your kindred, of your family, you begin to change the way you think. Your thinking begins to adjust as you transition, as you are exposed to other things. And I think that the church begins to be a better church when we begin to change the way we think. And how do we change the way we think? We begin to think God's thoughts. Hallelujah. When you think God's thoughts, you become like God. Isaiah 55 verse 11, he says, so is my word. It doesn't return to me void, but comes down from heaven like the rain and the water. But before that, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The Bible is God's thoughts on paper. Hallelujah. The Bible is God's thoughts on paper. So if I want to change me, I must get into something that will change my thinking. What do I do to change my thinking? I get into something that is greater than my thinking. I get into something that will take me to another level of thinking. Hallelujah. So sometimes the church is like this grade 2 student that was being taught English, and they were being taught that I've gone home. But she kept on writing, I have went home. I said, no, in English we don't say I have went home. You say, I have gone home. So to teach you this lesson, the teacher said, I am going to detain you and you're going to write, I have gone home 100 times. When you're finished saying I've gone home 100 times, you will then go home. So she sat down and wrote, I've gone home 100 times. After she had finished writing, I have gone home 100 times. She said, now that I've finished writing, I have gone home 100 times. I have went home. So I think what is important is not just the regurgitating of church stuff. It's understanding what God means. Okay? Now that you've read the word of God, are you the healed of the Lord? Now that you've read the word of the Lord, are you the redeemed of the Lord? Because we can read the word of God and nothing changes in the reality of our thinking. We can read the word of God and still say, now that I've read the word of God, I have went home. So God wants you to change your mind fundamentally. The way you think, the way you look at life, the way you look at yourself, the way you look at things, you look at it through the mirror of God or through the mindset. Kingdoms are mindsets. Every kingdom, every philosophy in this world is a mindset. It's the way you think. If I change the way you think, I will change the way you act. If I change the way you act, I will change the result in your life. If we are going to build the church, we have to build our mindsets. We have to change the way you think. Look at your neighbor and say, I can see what you've been thinking by how you're living. So 1 Peter chapter 1:13 says this. Wherefore, get up the loins of your mind. In other words, we have got to collect our mind. Don't let your mind be everywhere. Get up. Get up means to tighten, to pull together your mind. So all these things that you are saying to your neighbor, tell them, it's not me, it's the guest speaker. And we are not going to say this again next week. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, put your mind together. Collect your mind. Because your mind is a very important element. Get up the loins of your mind. So, how do you get up the loins of your mind? The Bible says, put on the belt of the truth of the word of God. Get up means to tighten like you put on a belt. If I want my mind to change, if I want my mind to be built up, I have to tighten it up with the word of God. I have to put on the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, number 3, at Caesarea Philippi, there was also a cave called the Gates of Hell. So when Jesus was talking about the gates of hell will not prevail, he wasn't just talking some figurative, something fooey-gooey, something up there. There was actually a physical place called the Gates of Hell, or the Grotto of Pan. So the god Pan was supposed to live in that cave. It was a bottomless place where water gushed out, one of the tributaries of the Jordan River, actually is from there. So it was a bottom. They could never get down to the bottom of that cave. So it was called the Gates of Hell. So when he said, the gate I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail physically, but the gates of hell will not prevail in our thinking, in our mentality. But now he's talking about this third element, which I'm going to close with, the spiritual element. So there were 3 elements that were there. So there was a physical element, there was a soulish element, and there was a spiritual element. All these elements make up you. You are a spirit that lives in a body, and you have a soul. There are 3 elements of you. If I'm going to build you up, I have to build those elements up. I have to build the spiritual element. I have to build the mindset element. I have to make sure you are strong, physically able, capable. That's why we thank God for the healing virtue of God and the power of God in our life. So this cave called the Cave of Pan is where this God, who was half God and half man, used to live in. This God was the God of everything. The word Pan is where we get the word Pan-African, all things African, panoramic, all things that you can view. And also he was the God of panic. That's where the word panic comes from. panic from the god Pan. So when the god Pan would show up, he would cause panic in the armies. And so we do have spiritual forces that want to control your life. Spiritual forces that want to control everything. When I was growing up, we had this interesting idea what the church is. There was the church and then there was life. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes I think that's what you think. So there was the church and then there is life. Okay? So some people would ask us, so how are you doing in the secular? You know, so there is the spiritual and the secular. But I want you to know that all the things you do in life are spiritual. The way you treat your wife is spiritual. It comes from somewhere. The way you handle your money is spiritual. The way you commit yourself to your schoolwork or university is spiritual. It talks about a force somewhere that is dictating the values of your life. If I'm going to build the church, I must build something other than just the way you think, but where you are coming from, the thing that is giving you the life, the thing that is the force that is giving you power to your life. It is that thing, the first thing that Jesus came to change in our world, to change who governs our lives, who is the God of our lives, who is the all dictating person in our lives. So if we are going to build the church, we must understand that the church is a spiritual entity. You are a spiritual entity. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, it says, but concerning spiritual gifts, and the word gifts there is in italics. It didn't exist in the original. So concerning the things of the spirit, concerning the things of pneuma, of the things of spirituality, my brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. We are not going to build a church if you are ignorant of spiritual things. If we are not going to build the church if all you have are physical stuff. If all you have is a good mind. We are going to have to build the church because you are a spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a spirit. So if you are a spirit, what makes you a potent force in building the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to live on the inside of you. Jesus Christ is not his last name. Okay? I'm sure you've heard it said before. Christ means anointed. It means the anointed one and his anointing. So when you receive Jesus, for those who have received Jesus, for those who have not received Jesus, maybe you are still under the control of the God Pan. So, but today you're going to make a transition. Today you're going to decide that you're going to be a part of the greatest kingdom that has ever lived. The word of God says in Daniel, it says, I saw a rock made without hands, and it was thrown against the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the golden image, and it splintered the image into smithereens, and it grew into a kingdom, into a rock that was greater than all kingdoms. The church is the greatest kingdom in the whole world. Can I have an amen? The church is the most powerful and most potent force in the whole world, and you are the church. You are the beginning of the church. If we are going to build this potent force, if we are going to build this world-changing force, if we are going to build the thing that Jesus wanted to build, he never wanted to build anything. Jesus didn't actually build a physical building. He came to build the church. He came to build you. He came to give you the ability to overcome every force of the devil. The gates of hell, the gates of panic, the gates of fear, the gates of disease, the gates of depression will never overcome the church. Hallelujah. And you are the church. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And God lives on the inside. The anointed one and his anointing have come to live on the inside. Do you know that you are anointed? When you receive Jesus Christ, you became anointed. No, please don't go to Nigeria or Ghana or Malawi and looking for anointed people. There is no major one, major 1,000, major one. You are the major one. You are the one. You are anointed. Hallelujah. I said you are anointed. See, one of the biggest problems that we have in Africa is we have delegated this arena of anointing to prophets and apostles. But you are anointed. Hallelujah. I said you are anointed. Why are you anointed? The anointed one lives on the inside of you. He cannot live on the inside of you and you are not anointed. It's like water and wetness. You cannot get into water without being wet. Water and wetness go together. Jesus and anointing go together. How God, Acts chapter 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. We went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It is this same Jesus that has come to live on the inside of you. He said he has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our spirit crying, Daddy, Daddy. You are as anointed as the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. You are the church that God is looking for. You are an anointed person. Hallelujah. It's time for you to get up and begin to shake. No, no, don't call a number on YouTube or on WhatsApp and say, pray for me. You have power to pray for yourself. You have power to lay hands on the sick. It said believers will lay hands on the sick. Not papas and bishops and apostles and prophets, but believers. How many believers do I have here? Hallelujah. You are anointed. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Come on, say, you, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. Come on, say it one more time. Say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. One of the things that builds the church is this realization, this identity that Jesus is in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The anointed power of Almighty God, alive and well in the name of. When your husband or your wife is sick in the night, no, don't call the elders and the deacons. Lay your hands on them. Your hands are anointed. You are anointed. You are part of the church that is anointed. Come on, look at your neighbor one more time, especially the one that doesn't want to say anything. Say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. Come on, let's try it one more time. Say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. Cast out demons. Heal the sick. Prophesy. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Joel chapter 2, 28. In those days, and these are the days, my dear brother. In those days, and Peter said that in Acts chapter 2. He says, you know, when the day of Pentecost was come, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, came like a mighty rushing wind and filled all the house where they were. And there appeared cloven tongues of fire and set upon them. And they all spoke in tongues and began to speak in tongues. But Peter says these words. He says, when they, some mocked, he said, no, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that which Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon Zambian flesh, upon Zimbabwean flesh, upon male flesh, upon female flesh, upon tall flesh, upon short flesh, upon educated flesh, upon uneducated flesh. God has anointed the church to be the church. Hallelujah. One more time, say it with me. I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things in Jesus' mighty name. Why do I say you're anointed? I'm rounding up. Why do I say I'm anointed? The word of God tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says that God has given to every man the gift of the anointing, so minister one to another. You have been given the gift called the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, to build yourself up. Did you not read in First Corinthians chapter 14? It says, but you brethren, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up. How do you build the church? Build you. How do you build you? Through the power of the anointing that is in your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Can I have a living amen here? Can I have a living amen here? The word of God also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, he that has established us and has anointed us in God is Christ. So you are anointed. The word of God says you are anointed. No, don't tell me now. I need someone anointed. You are anointed. Hallelujah. I said, you are anointed. 1 John chapter 2, 22, it says this. Now you have received the anointing, the unction from the Holy One. You have received it. I said, you have received it. I said, you have received it. Look at your neighbor and say, I have received it. I have received the anointing. Say, I have received the anointing. So the church of Jesus is an anointed church. And anointing always destroys the yoke of bondage. You are anointed to be a power. The gates of hell cannot, shall not, will not prevail. Hallelujah. So you are a winner by the anointing of Jesus Christ. I said you are a winner by the anointing of Jesus Christ. So, because of our time, let me see if I can just wrap this up right here about the anointing. The anointing is the transfer of four things. The anointing is the transfer of four things. These four things are already on the inside of you. Remember I said you don't have to go to Zimbabwe. I know there's some crazy guys from Zimbabwe who want to think that they are the only anointed ones. I'm anointed. Yeah, I know I'm anointed. God has called me because every calling is anointed. But everyone in the church also is anointed in some measure. Hallelujah. I'm anointed to preach the gospel. You are anointed maybe to be something else. Maybe you're anointed to be an engineer. The word of God says when he was building the tabernacle, you called two men called Aholiab and Bezaliel. These were not preachers. These were people who were artisans who worked with their hands. He says, but I have anointed them to work with their hands, to build the church, to build the tabernacle. These were ordinary people. Let me just throw you another one. Do you know that some of the most amazing transformers of society in the Bible were not preachers, pastors, or Levites? Look at Daniel. Look at Esther. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah does not even have a genealogy. But Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. I don't know where you are, but where you are anointed for where you are. Hallelujah. I don't know what God has called you to do, to be a teacher, to be an engineer, to be a mother, to be a housewife, whatever, but you are anointed. Hallelujah. You have this ability to bring this atmosphere of heaven here on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say with me one more time. I know my time is running out. Say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. Now, I'm not hearing you properly. Yeah, maybe you're too Christian a nation for where I come from. So would you like to say this? Look at your neighbors. I'm anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Let's do anointed things. When you discover who you are, God will build upon this rock. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not, shall not, cannot prevail. In Jesus' mighty name. So, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he asked this question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The beginning of being anointed, the beginning of being part of this great force called the church, comes from knowing who Jesus is. And it says, some say, some people say he was a good person. Some people say he was a good prophet. Some say he was a moral person. But the crux, the bottom line of the transformation of humanity is understand that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And so today I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to move from the territory of physical forces. I want to give you an opportunity for you to just move from things that are playing with our minds. And you know, there's so many voices. Some say this, some say another. There's so many voices, YouTube and on Twitter, Instagram or whatever it's called now, X or whatever. There's so many voices. But I have come today with this word from the Lord, with the voice of the Lord. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart in the day as in the day of provocation. Today you have heard me declare that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he came here to save the world, to deliver the world from the forces that want to control it, to deliver the world from the forces that want to control our minds, to deliver the world from the forces that want to control our spirits. Today you can have that transformation. Today Jesus can become the Son of God in your life. So I want every head bowed and every eye closed right now as I come to the conclusion of our time together. Maybe you're here, maybe you go to church. We're not talking about a denomination. The church is you. If you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to become part of this powerful, unstoppable, indomitable church of Jesus Christ. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've never prayed a prayer receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never asked Jesus to come into my life. I've never confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He came here to die for me. If you're here today and you are in that condition, I want you to put up your hand right now. Is there anyone? Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone say, I've never prayed that prayer. If I die today, I don't know where I'd go, to heaven or to hell. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Say, I don't know. I've never. There's someone there. They said, thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand up, please. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I'm going to ask that person with their hand up, please, to stand on your feet. If you can stand on your feet. If they can stand, if somebody can interpret for them or whatever, so that they can thank you. Thank you very much. It's a good time for us to stand. So I'm going to ask the rest of us to look up at me. I might do something that you're not used to in this church, but please do allow me to do that. I want you to ask your neighbor. Just touch them gently and say, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And look them in the eye. If they're not sure, say, I'll walk down with you. I'll come down with you. This is the most important thing you can do to build your life. If you're not sure, just take them by the hand and say, come on, come on. This is the greatest moment of your life in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask my dear brother or my sister, can't see clearly, if they can just walk down here. Let's put our hands together as they walk down here. Come on, church, let's get excited. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Church, you can do better than that. Oh, there's another one. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Put your hand together. I remember about 60 or so years ago when I got born again. I was the only one that day. There was a pastor getting born again. There was a national leader getting born again. And I was the only one on that day. So it's not how many is what God will do in their lives. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Let's give the Lord a shout and a praise and thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. My dear brothers, and sister, being born again is the simplest thing in the whole world. God made it deliberately simple so that the simplest one of us can become. There's another one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, church. God is doing something here. God is doing something here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We bless your name. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming down in Jesus. I was saying that being born again is the simplest thing in the whole world. You don't have to jump through loops. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is with your mouth. Some say you're going to have to say, you're going to open your mouth and say some words. The word of God says, with the heart we believe to righteousness, but with the mouth we confess unto salvation. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to lift up both your hands as a sign of surrender. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes and pray this prayer after me. In Jesus' name, I want to say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, Son of the Living God, because I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you raised him from the dead for my salvation. Lord Jesus, my hands are lifted up as a sign of surrender. I surrender my life, all of my life. Come into my life. Make me your child as I make you my Lord. From today, I am yours and you are mine forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. So, there's a good brother here that will take you aside, talk to you and minister to you, and whatever you might need to have attended to, they will attend to it in Jesus' mighty name. So, as I close, I would like the church to please stand on your feet. You're going to stand on your feet. And you are going to declare Jesus Lord over your circumstances, whether they're physical, mental, or spiritual. I don't know what you're going through right now, but Jesus is Lord. There's an anointing to destroy. There's anointing to take control over the things that are trying to take control of your life. Physical stuff, mental stuff, spiritual stuff. I want you to lift up your hands right now as we conclude in prayer. Our God and our Father, we want to thank you that your word says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Father, we come against everything that has come against your people, in things physical, things mental, things spiritual, and we bind those things in Jesus' mighty name, and we command them to loose your people and let them go, because they are the anointed of Christ. Thank you that they are, because of the anointing, every yoke is destroyed physically, every yoke is destroyed mentally, every yoke is destroyed spiritually, because the anointing destroys the yoke. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Why don't you lift up your hands to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free because of the anointing. I am the church, and you have built me in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Pastor Walker.